I think with the economic crisis, it's harder for climate change to be in the news because there's a lot less space devoted to this kind of, you know, issues that are not so immediate. The interests of journalists turn to economic considerations about what people are, you know, facing right now and what might be their prospects in terms of employment, etc. And there's a lot of space that gets taken with that. Plus, I mean, all the research shows that environmental communication tends to have to play a bigger role and have more space at times when the economy is going well, which, you know, it seems like it's a bit of a luxury. So we are economically well, financially well, so we can, you know, afford to think about this other issue and maybe devote some resources to dealing with it. Otherwise, this change and the environment becomes much less of a priority.
In the other hand, it's easier to talk about the reduction of consumption during the financial crisis because the consumption are decreasing.
Well, you could expect that maybe because of the crisis there would be a reduction in consumption and there would be a kind of a good side effect in environmental terms. Actually, the recent data suggests that saving, at least in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, has been smaller than what was expected. There's been a significant decrease in energy use associated with cement and everything related to construction, for instance, but in many Western economies. But for instance, China, of course, has compensated for that with their continuingly fast growth. But anyway, I think it's hard to sell a reduction of consumption. Again, you know, on times when you're forced to reduce consumption because of the economic crisis, if you add that extra demand, that kind of moral layer, in a way it may make it harder because people are saying we are already, you know, materially forced to reduce our consumption. What else is expected from us? So people become more critical and value less, you know, concerns with the environment and with future impacts and future generations, etc. So I understand your point that, you know, there could be something good, could be something positive out of the crisis. But yeah, and on the other hand, there's all the issues with the investments that are necessary to make in terms of new forms of energy, new forms of organizing certain the production of certain goods, new forms of transport, etc., etc., and the public support to make those investments with public monies that are now so much under pressure is also reduced. For instance, in Portugal, there's been this plan to build a TGV, a fast train, which we still don't have, you know, to Spain and then to get fast access to Europe, to the rest of Europe. And with the financial crisis, everyone is saying, why are we going to use our money with this? You know, it's not an immediate need, and I do think that it is, you know, and in many different ways. But yeah, the basis of public appreciation of that kind of decreases. So,
what kind of communication is predominant in Europe about climate change? I mean, communication more focused about the information, or more about the consequences of the climate change?
I don't think it's either or. You know, there are journalists that are, you know, very well intentioned and well informed about the science. At least at some points have depicted climate change in ways that might scare people. And you know, and the idea was just to kind of show that potentially this is a very big risk and potentially there's dreadful things coming out of this. But you know, the data actually supports it. The issue is, you know, how do you do it in a way that maintains people's trust and belief and engagement? Because you can't say that we're all gonna die tomorrow, because if we are, you know, who cares anyway, there's nothing to be done. And on the other hand, you know, if you say the only way we're not going to die is if everyone organizes immediately. And there's this issue of agency, and people know that they alone can't solve the problem, that there's a need for a concerted effort, etc. So you need, as a communicator, journalist or other, you need to provide people with that sense of what the possibilities for action are there, and what also research tells us in terms of social mobilization in political change, etc. Not only what the climatology research tells us, but also, for instance, what we know about how many people in a given community are changing their habits in terms of transport, because it's well known that people will be more inclined to change their behavior if they know that others are doing so. So, you know, what is information versus scaremongering? This is it's a tricky issue. I think you need to have a consistent, you know, well argued, well documented case about climatology, and then, you know, try to put that in a picture, a wider picture that helps people make sense of it, without in giving a, you know, providing a sense of the urgency of the issue, but without saying we're all going to die tomorrow, because that's not very productive.
How is perceived the neutrality of media about global warming nowadays? Also, after the big scandal involved the IPCC recently?
To some extent, there is evidence that people have become more skeptical about what the media tells them, and part of it results from precisely that, you know, emphasis on catastrophe and on fear. Because, you know, if you get a more nuanced picture saying, you know, as it was when it came forth that the IPCC had made a mistake with the melting of the ice in the Himalayan, for instance, the kind of time scale that was involved, then people become, you know, people withdraw and become more reluctant to accept and even possibly, you know, to engage with issue, to do something about it. But, you know, I think there's always cycles in this. So in terms of, for instance, the American public, there's been some rebound like this. People, after the so-called climate gate and after the issues in February this year too with the IPCC and stuff, have after that's passed, and that's, you know, there was inquiries that proved that essentially the IPCC didn't do anything wrong. I think, you know, that skepticism and that suspicion about the media and the news has decreased a little bit. So people again have, you know, become a bit more ready to accept what the media say. But then again, you know, it varies very much from media to media, whether what do you consume, and, you know, are you just read one, watch TV and maybe, you know, flip through a very kind of flashy magazine and that's your source of information, or are you someone that actually, you know, searches on the web for things and stuff. We have many, many different types of publics here, of course, and we can't homogenize those publics and think that everyone does the same. So, yeah, and I don't know if very recent research about, you know, how those different types of publics have dealt with this. The general perception is that, you know, people still think that the media is very important. They expect the media to, you know, responsibly deal with this, but yeah, they may have become a little more critical, which is not necessarily actually a bad thing. I mean, because, you know, if you read a tabloid and it says, you know, the world is dying, etc., you know, if you have some filters about that, it's not necessarily bad.